due to a holiday, a school holiday, a number of our own members have fled the city and gone to other places with family, to visit family in some cases, or for short vacations. And yet our number has been swelled by those of you who are in our assembly visiting with us, perhaps even for the first time. And we are grateful that you're here. I would encourage you to take out your Bible if you brought one with you, or perhaps take Bible out of the pew in front of you and follow along in our study this morning. The reading this morning from Mark the 6th chapter describes what we sometimes call the limited commission. The great commission, of course, recorded at the end of the Gospels, in which Jesus sends out His 12 apostles following His resurrection into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And yet in this commission, they are sent in a limited way to the lost sheep of Israel. And yet, despite all of the many observations that perhaps we could make about the apostles' task, it seems clear to me that this must have been a very stressful time for these men. As one who has, like you perhaps, tried to share the gospel with others in various circumstances, sometimes we find that that can be pretty stressful, that people are not always all that anxious to hear what we have to say, and certainly don't always agree with the things that we believe the Scriptures are teaching. Jesus sent out these men who were not accomplished preachers probably. They were fishermen, tax collectors, and men probably of other vocations also. And so He sends these men out in pairs, instructing them to depend upon others for their food, not to take any extra money, not to take extra sandals or tunics, but in fact to depend upon the benevolence, the charity of others. And it is anticipated in the instructions that there will be some who will not accept what they have to say, despite the fact that they'll have the power to cast out demons and to heal sick people. Because Jesus says, if there are those who are unwilling to listen to you, shake the dust off of your feet when you leave that place. Jesus anticipated opposition that they were going to face. And so this must have been a stressful time. And then, of course, when the apostles returned, and as they related to Jesus what had happened to them, what they had done, and what they taught, Jesus recognized that these men needed some rest. And so, as Ralph did, we skipped to verse 30 of Mark 6, and Jesus says to them in verse 31, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." That's how busy things were. They're engaged in perhaps the most important work that anybody could do, and that's working for the Lord, spreading the gospel. But Jesus realized that even in the midst of that work, that these men needed some rest from the stress of what they had been doing, perhaps for weeks or some extended period of time. This morning I want to talk to you about stress in a sermon I've entitled Handling Stress. I believe it is a legitimate study for us. I believe we are, in some cases, adversely affected by stress. I have found the things that I have learned and been reminded of in my study over the past week for this sermon. I've been reminded of a number of things that have been useful to me. Stress has become a topic of considerable interest in our modern society. In fact, there's even been coined a word that describes good stress. Eustress is the word that is used to talk about that. A little anxiety can actually help us perform better. If you take a test in school, just totally relaxed, chances are good you'll not do as well on that test as if you were just a little bit concerned or a little bit your interest or your stress level heightened just a little bit, because it produces certain effects in your body that are, at least for short term, that are helpful to us. In fact, research also suggests that some stress at certain levels actually serves to boost our immune system, our body's immune system. God created us as wonderful creatures. Not that we're so good looking, but He put within our bodies the capacity to meet all sorts of challenges. And so when the body sees certain challenges, it reacts in a way that even helps to boost our immune systems. Unfortunately, most of us probably experience stress at much greater levels. Stress that is in fact damaging. Anything that causes stress is referred to by the health community as a stressor. Are you under any stressors? Did you experience any stressors in your life? Let me give you some common ones. Let's just go ahead and get everybody in the first one. Getting stuck in traffic. Stressful? Does it cause your blood pressure to go up and for you to get a little bit tense if you're stuck in traffic, particularly when you're already late for some appointment? How about final exams, young people? Create a little stress in your life? Especially when your parents are saying, you could be grounded for like the rest of your life. Public speaking is a stressor. You don't believe that, you ought to try it. It can be very stressful, as Joshua has discovered time and time again. Marital difficulties, or for that matter, difficulties in any of our interpersonal relationships. Have you changed your job? That's stressful. You move from what's familiar and what you may have already been able to deal with rather well into a whole new environment with new responsibilities and new people to deal with. And there's always the uncertainty about how you'll do in that situation. Going to school in a different place is stressful as you're independent and away from home perhaps for the first time in that kind of environment. And so moving to a new school or moving to a new home, even a new home in the same community, is a stressor. And of course our schedules are crammed sometimes to the point that even small details, which we might otherwise be able to handle very easily, become large stressors. How important is stress in our lives? How prevalent is it? In a 1996 Prevention Magazine survey, 75% of the people who were surveyed said that they felt like they were under great stress at least once a week. 33% in the same survey indicated that they felt the same feeling of great stress more than twice a week. How often is it for you that you feel that you are under lots of pressure, that you're stressed in a great way? Now, as we're going to note in just a few moments, briefly, physical health problems are a consequence of high levels of stress. But I'm more concerned with the fact that our spiritual health is sometimes likewise affected by stress. Stress was defined or described in a 1983 Time magazine article as being the number one health problem. Well, that's interesting. That's somebody's opinion. But what it suggests is that a lot of people are dealing with stress, and I'm willing to suggest that probably most of us, if not all of us, are dealing with stress and have had some difficulties with it from time to time. Well, what is it that we're trying to do this morning? Two things. First of all, I want to talk about why it is that Americans and even some of us are so stressed out. What's causing all of this problem? And secondly, and more importantly, I want to talk to you about what the Bible says about how we should respond to stress. Can I leave you in on a little secret about what's coming on later in the sermon? There are all kinds of suggestions about how you can deal with stress. Did a search on stress on the internet. Got 183 million hits. Fortunately, I started early in the week. We seem to be having some problems here. Is everybody else noticing the same interference? That is not me clearing my throat. I'm not sure what our problem is this morning. It may be a weak battery. Not weak preaching. Anyway, here's the secret for later on. All kinds of lists of things that you can do. But what I want to talk about and what we'll focus on are some of the suggestions that frankly could come straight out of the Scriptures. Because they're God's instructions to us about how we can deal with something that is, frankly, quite debilitating, both physically and sometimes spiritually. And so hold on to your hats. Don't get stressed. Let's talk about how we can handle stress. First of all, we need to know what it is that we're talking about. Dr. Hans Selye, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. What's significant about him is that he is recognized as a pioneer in modern stress research. And he says that stress is our body's response to any demand that is made upon it. But what's beautiful about this whole subject is that in His wisdom, God created us with bodies that have the capacity to rise to challenges and dangers. And those challenges, or I should say that capacity to meet the challenges, is viewed in some rather clear physiological ways. For instance, when you begin to experience stress, some sort of stressor, what happens is there are certain glands in your body that tell other glands that they need to get busy and start secreting those hormones that we know as adrenaline and cortisol. And those are the hormones that start affecting almost every one of our human body processes. For instance, they speed up our heart rate. It beats faster. And our breathing rate starts to increase to provide more oxygen for our muscles to do whatever it is that the body anticipates they're going to need to do. Our blood pressure rises. Not always a good thing, but necessary perhaps under certain circumstances. Even our metabolism starts to increase. Those blood vessels in our body expand so that they can accommodate more blood flow in a shorter period of time, and particularly to the large muscle groups like our arms and our legs, those that are involved in what's sometimes called the fight or flight response, which is what we're talking about, been renamed by some in more modern times as the stress response. But nevertheless, it's the same thing. Our liver begins to secrete stored glucose for that quick energy that we need in some sort of an emergency. And of course, our body begins to overheat a little bit because of all this activity, and so sweat glands begin to secrete moisture so that we can cool our body down. All of this takes place. Your whole body is affected by what's going on in your life, these stressors that in some cases in all cases that we're experiencing at some time or another. Now, this is all good. This is God's plan for helping you take care of emergencies. The problem is that God never intended for that kind of high-level activity in your body to go on indefinitely. He planned it for you to be able to deal with the sudden and the temporary challenge. The problem is when the fight or flight response doesn't kick off like it should. Normally, what our bodies do is that after the danger or the stressor has been relieved or eliminated, then our bodies go back to their normal processes. What happens is when that stress response is prolonged, it begins to wear on our bodies, on our health. There are different kinds of stress. You may be aware of this. Some stress is known as acute stress. Episodic acute stress, chronic stress, traumatic stress. And I'm not interested in discussing all of those. You might find that discussion very interesting. But there is one difference that is significant for our purposes, and that is that of those four kinds of stress that researchers have kind of categorized, acute stress is defined as stress that is basically short-term. The other three tend to be long-term stress or stress which has long-term consequences. Traumatic stress. The person who's been through an earthquake early in life and for the rest of their life, every time they get on anything that shakes, they start to have anxiety attacks. That's traumatic stress. But acute stress is typically short-term. The other forms of stress tend to be habitual or long-term. And long-term stress serves to depress our immune system. Short-term stress boosts it, but your body's not equipped to keep handling all of that fight or flight response. And so what happens is over time, your body becomes less able to handle difficulties, particularly disease and other things. So stress has been linked to all of the six leading causes of death, at least among Americans. heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, even suicide is sometimes caused or is related to stress. Wow. How do you know if you've got a problem? What kind of signs or symptoms signal that maybe we're under too much stress, that the prolonged stress is starting to hurt us? Well, there are a lot of them. And I assume that there would be some other causes for some of these, but listen to these and see if they describe your life. Maybe a number of them. If a number of them describe you, it may be that you're the one I'm talking to this morning. Irritability. Moodiness. A feeling of being constantly pressured, hassled, or hurried. Inability to sleep. Anger. Anxiety. Even depression. Fatigue, tired all the time, tension headaches, stomach aches, hypertension, migraines. These sound like some of the responses to sermons, but these are some of the common signals that people are under too much stress. Overeating, substance abuse, ulcers, colitis. Can I share a story with you? Went in for a general physical about a year ago. And the doctor commented that I'd gained a little weight since the last time they had weighed me, that I'd been in there. I said, well, you know what, when I get stressed, I tend to overeat. He said, he just burst my bubble because I thought, well, you know, see, I've got some sort of condition. He said, that's really common response to stress, is that we tend to overeat. He didn't say anything else encouraging either. Substance abuse. Alcohol, drugs are often caused by stress or a reaction to stress. Even ulcers and colitis. And what I want you to see is that with time, chronic stress, stress that you just can't get away from or that is unrelieved, can lead to serious problems like cancer, diabetes, even thyroid dysfunction. Stress is a killer. This stress that is sometimes called distress because of its damaging nature. According to one source, more than 50% of adult Americans suffer adverse health effects due to stress. Now, that's somebody's estimate, but what it suggests is that it is a widespread problem. Chances are good that some of us are in that 50%. The Occupational Health and Safety News and the National Council on Compensation Insurance, you can believe anything they say. Up to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are for stress-related complaints. Another source said 75% to 90%. When people go to the doctor, 9 times out of 10, it's because they're under too much stress. And that's not to say that they don't have physical problems. It's to say that those physical problems are often caused by the fact that they're under chronic or prolonged stress levels that are damaging, wearing down their bodies. Another site said contemporary stress tends to be more pervasive, persistent, and even insidious. The reason being, of course, because it stems primarily from psychological rather than physical threats. Did you feel physically threatened when you came out of your house this morning, like someone might, you know, nab you between the house and the garage before you could get into your car and get to church? Well, no, we're basically not under those kinds of threats most of the time. Our stress comes from a lot of other sources that are not as clearly identifiable as, you know, somebody standing out in the driveway with a gun threatening us. Prolonged stress often leads to a term that is now pretty widespread. It's the term burnout. And burnout, according to the book How to Beat Burnout, often leads to clinical depression. And clinical depression is on the rise in our country. Well, small wonder. We're under too much stress. All of us are. I came home one day after having spent an entire day nearly reading all this stuff, and I told Deb, I said, you're going to be a rich woman pretty soon. I think the term insurance should kick in any time. Because I looked at all of the characteristics of people who are under high stress and who are high risk for heart disease, and the only thing that wasn't there was my picture. As everybody else was describing my lifestyle, everything else. And all I'm saying to you is that I recognize this is something that I probably need to work on. Is it something that affects you, that you need to deal with? Let's talk about handling stress. Turn in your New Testaments to the Gospel of Luke, to an interesting story very briefly told in the 10th chapter of Luke. This begins in verse 38. It is the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus, of course, visiting in their home. And verse 38 begins, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." But there's a problem. Martha wants to put on the dog for the Lord. That didn't come out right. She wants to really entertain at a high level, and so she's distracted with much serving. And she begins to criticize her sister Mary. She approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her, Lord, that she's not doing what she needs to be doing. I'm having to do all the work." Jesus' response is, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." The word that is translated distracted there in verse 40 is a really interesting word. Thayer says that it means literally to draw around or to draw away, to distract. In the passive, and incidentally it is in the passive voice here, it is to be driven about mentally, to be distracted. And he goes on to say that it means to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. Martha was too busy. Was it a good thing that she was doing? Well, she was practicing hospitality, but it had become so much of a problem that it's interesting the way some versions translate this. The New Living Translation says it this way. Martha was worrying over the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, does it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." Debbie and I are going to Brazil in December, so I've been paying a lot more attention to my Portuguese lately. And it's interesting that in the translation of this verse in the Portuguese Bible, it's literally that she was agitated from side to side. Isn't that what happens when we're stressed, when we're worrying? We're pulled here and there and someplace else with all of the concerns. She was occupied with many duties, that translation said. I'll tell you what she was. She was stressed, overstressed, to the point that she begins to criticize somebody who's sitting at Jesus' feet to listen to him teach. We'll talk more about Jesus' response to that in just a little while. But Jesus described Martha in the New King James Version as worried and troubled about many things. And you know what? That's probably not a bad description of a lot of us. Worried and troubled about many things. Stressed out. And what we need to do is learn how to deal with that stress. We're not unique in this regard. In addition to the apostles and, of course, to Martha that we've talked about here in Luke 10, you could go through all kinds of biblical stories that talk about God's people, and you'd see that they were under a lot of stress, sometimes because they were doing the Lord's will. I think of Gideon and his little 300-man army. He sent most of the Israelites who responded to the call, all the fearful and the ones that didn't drink water the right way, sent them all home. And now he's taking his 300 men out with their little pitchers and their lights to fight against the Midianites who measure like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Now that'll stress you if you're the general. Or I think about David as he's been anointed king by Samuel. Happy day, I'm going to be the next king. He ends up being an outlaw, fleeing from Saul, living in caves, betrayed by his own countrymen who he has saved in some cases from the Philistines or the Amalekites. That's stressful. When you can be nabbed by anybody and turned over to the king who would like to end your life because he realizes you're his successor instead of his own son. Or we could talk about Elijah, threatened with death by Jezebel. On one day, victorious against the prophets of Baal, and the next day, headed out of town for as far away as he could get because Jezebel had sent the death sentence after him. In fact, I think Elijah is a good example of depression, of someone who was just so down, and the Lord helped him deal with that. But you know, the best example that I can think of? Jesus. Jesus in the flesh. The Gospels record that in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He prayed about what was going to happen, asking the Father if it was possible for this cup to pass from Him, the Bible says that sweat dropped as drops of blood. That's a medical condition. It's when somebody is stressed, when somebody is under so much pressure, that little capillaries in the skin break and the blood mixes with the sweat and you get that bloody sweat. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew that He was going to experience what the ancients had devised as one of the cruelest ways to be put to death. Prolonged execution. Torture is really all it was. God's people have always experienced stress. But that doesn't mean that it has to destroy us, either physically or spiritually. We need to talk a little bit about what we can do to manage stress. And I've been trying to do my part. Even in this sermon, I've got soothing sunset cloud backgrounds on my slides. And I wore my non-confrontational soothing yellow shirt today. But we can do a lot more than that. Unfortunately, I'm afraid we do like I saw on one site where they had an anti-stress kit. And what it was a piece of paper with a red circle that said, bang head here. You just put that on a wall or some other hard substance and you beat your head because you don't know what to do with your problems. Listen, the Bible will help us out with this business of managing or handling stress. Now, we could talk about a lot of things. I'm not even going to get through 2 million of the 183 million hits that we talked about a little bit earlier. And frankly, some of it, I don't know how useful it is. And some of it, for instance, the first four things, really are suggestions by the medical community that make all the sense in the world. God created our bodies, our physical bodies, with certain requirements. If you don't meet those requirements, your body suffers. There are things like regular exercise, eating appropriate foods or a good diet, breathing exercises in some cases to deal with stress that's already affecting us. Adequate sleep. When we don't get adequate sleep or rest, then we have problems. I really don't care to talk about all those. What I would rather do is focus on some of the other suggestions that I found to be common suggestions and which I believe, frankly, are taught in the Scriptures. For instance, slowing down. Or excuse me, resting. I'm jumping here. You recall in Mark, the 6th chapter, after the apostles come back, what is it that Jesus says to these 12 who are obviously stressed out, not even having time to eat? He says, listen, you need to come off by yourselves and rest a while. But we can't. We're so busy and the work we're doing is so important. Jesus said, come off and rest for a while. Sometimes we need to rest, even in the midst of very important things. And we always think they're important, don't we? We need to slow down. It was stated like this in a couple of sources. Lighten your workload. Take a stand against overscheduling. How many of us fill our days with all sorts of tasks and at the end of the day, it is depressing to us because we can't get to everything? Raise your hands. How many of you are dishonest? Because I only saw two hands come up and I know better than that. That's pretty common, isn't it? But we need to get all those things done, don't we? Because they're important things, crucial things. And so what happens is we get so busy that we're stressed out. And I'll tell you, it doesn't just affect our physical health. You'll see it in people's spiritual health also. Listen to a description of the person under episodic acute stress. What that is when you have these little things that happen to you. You get stuck in traffic. But you know, you can handle that if it only happens once in a while. But when those things are constant, when there's a lot of them, what happens is we kind of get stressed and we stay stressed with all of these different events that normally by themselves, one at a time, we could handle them, but they tend to gang up on us. Listen to how they describe a person who's under episodic acute stress. See if this describes you. There are those, however, who suffer acute stress frequently, whose lives are so disordered that they are studies in chaos and crisis. They're always in a rush, but always late. If something can go wrong, it does. I've even coined the expression, Murphy hates me. You know Murphy's Law? If something can go wrong, it will. I know Murphy follows me around. And he's definitely a person who hates me because things are always going wrong. Anytime you come here, how many teachers come here? If you leave your class notes to copy at the last minute, will the copier work or not? If you absolutely have to print out something on your computer, that's the one time in the last 3 years that it'll go down and it won't come back up. It won't boot up again for some unknown reason. They go on to say, they take on too much, have too many irons in the fire, and can't organize the slew of self-inflicted demands and pressures clamoring for their attention. They seem perpetually in the clutches of acute stress. It's common for people with acute stress reactions to be over-aroused, short-tempered, irritable, anxious, and tense. Another form of episodic acute stress comes from ceaseless worry. That's a whole other ball game that we'll talk about in just a moment. Do you remember what Jesus said to Martha? He said, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." One thing is needed. Wait a second, you got to eat. No, Mary chose the one thing that was necessary right then. And that's what she was taking care of. And that's not something that was going to be taken away from her. The Lord wasn't going to criticize her for that. When we're chronically too busy, we're not ordering our priorities correctly. We're not attending to the most important things. That's a fact. We fill our lives with things that really are good things. I'm not suggesting that we're all engaged in evil activity. No, not at all. I think a lot of the things that we want to accomplish are in and of themselves admirable things to have accomplished, but you know, you only have so much time and there are certain things that have to come first. And we're not always very good at deciding which of those things. I've gotten to the point where there's so much stuff going on around the property there, we've got different things we're working on, that I make out a list because otherwise I start one job, I see another job, I get distracted on that job, I start another job, and at the end of the day I go back and I realize I never touched the thing that I'd intended to do that Saturday. Are you like that? Not focusing on the things that really need to be done or that are most important. We need to deal with worry and anxiety. Most of you are familiar with this prayer that's on the screen. This is the beginning of what's sometimes known as the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. He says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Now, he has made an application of a couple things that the Lord actually speaks about, say, for instance, on the Sermon on the Mount. Where in Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 27, Jesus says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Otherwise, I'd be one of the tallest guys. I'd be taller than Larry. If I could change it, if thinking about it or worrying about it or being concerned about it, and so I had to forget about height and just opt for good looks. Here's the bottom line. Jesus said there are certain things that you can't change. There are other things that God knows very well that you need. Gentiles worry about all those stuff, but food and clothing, the necessities of life, God knows you need those things. He says what you need to do is put the most important things in your life. Stop worrying about the things that you can't change. And instead, pursue the things that are important that you can change. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else is secondary. Now that's not to say that we can't be concerned about things, but Paul writes to the Philippians, don't be anxious, don't be over worried about things. Take things to God in prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch what you're thinking. One doctor, a psychiatrist, made this observation. He said, in other words, the reason we get stressed out is not what's happening to us and not what happened in the past, at least not directly, he writes, but rather how we are thinking about what is happening. You know what amazes me? There are some people whose lives are just absolutely challenges. Everything seems to be, stacking up against them. It's illness, sometimes it's death, job losses, all kinds of calamities. And yet they're upbeat people. And then you find other people who frankly ought to be down on their knees thanking God that things are as good as they are, and we're whining about all the problems we have that are so minuscule in comparison to somebody else's. What is the difference? It's not what's happening. It's the way we think about what's happening. We need to watch the way we think. We talked about that last week when we talked about a character study of David last Sunday evening. I'll not rehearse all of those things. Simply to say that the Bible recognizes that the heart is the storehouse, the treasury of man's speech and actions. We take out of our hearts those things that we say and we do. So what you've got to do is make sure that your treasury is filled with good things, positive things. We need to practice and accept forgiveness. And nowhere is that more needed than our family relationships. It is extremely stressful when we have problems, difficulties in our marriages, or difficulties with our children, or with our parents, as the case may be, or with our in-laws, and we just don't work those out. We just kind of live in this constant state of friction and bitterness and anger and frustration. That's extremely stressful. And it lends itself to chronic stress. That ongoing prolonged stress that frankly will kill you in some cases. What we need to do is learn how to forgive. I understand not always do people repent. But we need to be pursuing that. And we need to accept forgiveness. Sometimes people can't forgive themselves. They can't accept the forgiveness that God has clearly offered to them. They've met the conditions. They've confessed their sin. I'm talking about Christians. They've confessed their sin. They've prayed to God for forgiveness, but they won't accept the fact that God's forgiven them. And they're hauling around all that stuff. We talked about that this last week also. And it's stressful. It'll kill you. God never intended that. He said, you just pray to God about everything. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, the world doesn't understand it because it doesn't enjoy that peace, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's one of the spiritual blessings in Christ. And then last of all, we need to be realistic. If we're perfectionists, what happens is not only do we drive ourselves sometimes to unrealistic standards, but we expect those standards, that kind of behavior, in other people also. And that's not fair to them. It's damaging both to us, ourselves, and it damages our relationships with others. Just in passing, Jesus said again in Matthew the 7th chapter, judge not, you be not judged. But what he's talking about is that harsh, censorious judgment when I am demanding a standard that I am not even willing to live up to myself or cannot live up to myself. And that's stressful. Well, speaking of stressful, long sermons are stressful. So let's conclude this morning. What can we say about handling stress? Well, one thing we need to emphasize right away is that stress is not just a health concern. This has not been a lesson about medical science, although I've given you some idea about how dangerous this can be to our physical bodies that God gave us as temples, but that's not even our primary concern. Because stress leads to moodiness, to anger, anxiety, which illustrates a lack of faith. And those are spiritual diseases that'll kill us for eternity if unchecked. And so besides developing habits that would generally support our physical health, there are several other things we need to do. First of all, we need to make sure that we're including in our lives the most important things, and there are some other things that are just going to have to go by the wayside. We're going to have to say no to some people. And they may not like that, but it's required. We need to take our concerns to God in prayer. Put away worry and anxiety. We need to be careful how we think. We need to establish the habit of thinking positively and understand that our thoughts affect us both physically and spiritually. We need to practice and accept forgiveness. And finally, we need to be realistic about ourselves. God did not expect us to be perfect. He expects us to grow and do the best we can. But John said, we don't get there. Christians continue to sin sometimes by weakness. And God's made provision for that also. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ, the righteous, who will plead on our behalf before God. How are you handling stress? Is it working you over? Is it affecting you spiritually? I hope you're not suffering physically from it. But I'll tell you, even if this physical body doesn't do very well, what's more important is what happens with your soul. Because our souls are going to spend eternity either in a place that is comfort and in the presence of God, or we'll pay for eternity for our foolishness in neglecting instructions that God has given us about how to take care of the most precious possession He has given us. And that's our spirit, our soul. Back to Luke, the 10th chapter. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part. That'll not be taken away from her. In terms of priorities, the most important thing in your life is this question. Are you ready? It's not how many hours you work every week. It's not whether you know that you're eating a good diet. It's not whether you practice breathing exercises or you feel relatively unstressed. Bottom line is, are you a Christian? Because it really doesn't make any difference how good things are going otherwise. If you're not a Christian, you've got a real problem. The problem is that you're still mired in sin, the guilt of sin. Imputed to you by God who observes our behavior and knows when we violate His law. But once again, even as God has provided our physical bodies with the capacity to meet challenges, He's provided for this also. And He's provided a plan where you and I can be forgiven, cleansed of our sins, and even grow spiritually so that we sin less and less as time goes on. Enjoying spiritual blessings that the world doesn't even understand. Are you a Christian? The steps are rather plain in the Scriptures. They're on the screen. Faith comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. That's what we confess after we've repented of our sins. We've turned from those things that are wrong in our lives. And then we need to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Born again to walk a new life, a different life. A life in which we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. Different from the world, with a goal, with peace. If you're not a Christian this morning, why wait any longer? All things are ready, both from a divine standpoint and from a human standpoint, as much as we can assist you. But finally, the decision belongs to each of us, what we will do about our soul's condition. This morning, if you need to obey the gospel, you know. If you're prepared, why not now as we stand and sing?